So today, if you've been here for the past couple of weeks, you'll know that we are promoting our Easter offering. And for our Easter offering, we give away the entire offering and then everything that comes into the church that week. So from Easter Sunday to that Friday, all the money that comes into this church goes to Vietnam, where we give away free wheelchairs, Haiti, where we have where we support a Feeding the Children program. And then today we're going to talk about Brazil in the Amazon region where we do water filters. It's called the Water Filter Project. So please be in prayer. We're going to talk about that today. But be in prayer about how much you would like to give on Easter Sunday. Today we're going to talk about the Brazil Water Filter Project. And that's the one that's near and dear to my heart because I oversee that. But if we could go to the next slide. Here is what the water filters look like. So you may be hearing water filters and you might be thinking it's a little handheld thing or whatever. But these are made out of concrete. They stand about, 4 feet tall. They weigh about 100 pounds. They last forever. So just the concrete alone weighs about 100 pounds. And if you can see, it says Thirst Relief on there. And that's another organization that the Vineyard in Portel, Brazil works with. And so we joined up after them, so that's why it says Thirst Relief and not Vineyard Community Church. But you can see some numbers on there. So the water filters that we purchase for our offering that we give this Easter, when they say, okay, these are the water filters that Vineyard Community purchased, those numbers are tagged to a GPS coordinate. This is one of the greatest things about the accountability with this mission here that I love. So I have an app on my phone, and it starts pinging when they start placing the water filters that we purchased in homes along the Amazon region. And so that number is tied to a GPS coordinate. And then I'll get a report of the families and, how they were sick, what they were dealing with, and how the water filter had changed their lives. So that just kind of gives you a snapshot of what they look like. Also, they're called biosand filters. So you fill them up with rocks. I call them like river stone. If you're used to getting stone, landscaping stone, they're kind of medium-sized rocks. And then they have pebbles, and then they have sand. So it fills all the way up. And then you put this tray on the top when you pour the water in. It just kind of helps the water just kind of sprinkle down in the sand. And then it slowly filters that water out. You'll see some pictures here coming up that the water that's coming out of the water filters looks a little milky. And that's because when you first install these, you've got to run water through them for 2 to 3 days to get all the dirt and the sand and the powder from those rocks out of there before your clean water can come through. So that's the water filters. Go to the next one. So here is, we didn't get to go last year, but in 2019, this is at a school. And they had one water filter that was installed the previous year. And the water I'm holding in that jug is what came out of that water filter. And the water in the bucket is the water that they drink. So that gives you an idea, right? We were able to install 3 more water filters in this school so that the entire school could drink clean water and not be sick. And that's because of the money that you guys gave. So go to the next picture. This is a bucket of water that we were at in another school. So you might be saying to yourself, well, why don't they just dig wells? Well, they do, and that's what they get out of them. This came out of a well that the school had dug. So the water, even if it's coming from a well, the well waters are rarely that clean also. So again, we were able to put a water filter in. This was a smaller school and provide them with clean water. So go to the next slide. Okay, so the guy in the blue, his name is Lodo. He goes to the Vineyard Portel that we support, and he's also a small group leader there. But what he's doing here is he's explaining to this dad and his son how to maintain the water filter, how to take care of it, and also, listen, if you're getting sick, this is what's going to make you feel better. So next slide. Okay, so I wanted to show you this picture because this one here is a little near and dear to my heart. So when we came up upon this one here, this was in 2018, that girl was drinking water out of the river, and there was just a film of stuff on the water. And they just don't know. They live on the rivers in the Amazon, but they just don't understand that the reason that they're sick, they have, what's it called, Giardia or gastritis or IBS issues, diarrhea, throwing up, even to the point of death. They don't really understand it's from the water. And you can't really tell by the picture, but also this house is about maybe as big as the center of this state. It's not very big. And it was so dilapidated that the guys were even wondering if the floorboards were going to hold the water filter. But it did. But the ground around there was about 2 inches of muck. And that's what they're living in. Now, also what you don't see in there, there was a few pigs, there was a few roosters, a few chickens, and some dogs roaming around on this property. Well, what you don't see is a restroom. So the restroom is the ground. So what happens is during the rainy season, which I think is right now, I could be wrong, but I think it's from like January to late April maybe. So the rains come and they flood these waters and these waters or these lands and the ground, and it's all contaminated with stuff. And then all that flows back into the rivers. And that's what they're drinking, all that bacteria. Here's the other thing. The Amazon, these rivers, they rise and lower with the tides. So when the tide comes in, the water comes up, and it fills, and, you know, and then it comes back down. But some of it stays up there in puddles, and it's awfully hot there. So the water bakes in these puddles all day long with all the stuff. And then when the tides rise, it collects all that water that's been growing bacteria all day, and it goes back into the river. So that's why they need clean drinking water, and we can provide that for them. So go to the next slide. Okay, so this is a tropical paradise right here. Actually, it really is. This is the boat. So let me just explain to you. This is the boat that's right off the property of Vineyard Portel. So we're going to hear from a guy named Hamon. Those of you who are familiar, you've heard us use the name Richie Boutsier and his family. He was the pastor in Vineyard Portel. He was a missionary from Canada, and he's the one that got the water filter ministry started. Well, he's recently moved back to Canada, 20-plus years, and his family's moved back to Canada. Just their parents are getting older, they want to take care of their family and stuff. So he's no longer down there, but I'm working with Hamon, who was his kind of right-hand man, and Hamon is now a pastor at the church. And then Anos, I'll show you a picture of him, and his family, they're now the lead pastors of the church. Hamon does the youth and the worship, and he oversees the boat and the water filter ministry. And so this is the boat that they use. Now, here's where your $195 goes when you purchase a water filter. You're not just you are purchasing a water filter. You are also paying a crew of guys to make and to deliver the water filters. So your $195 gives people a job. Not only does it give people a job, but it fills that boat with the fuel to go where it needs to go, and also any maintenance work that it needs. So the closest place from the church property right there is 4 hours away that they might deliver a water filter. Generally, it's 6 to 8 hours away where they start doing these water filters. So it's not like just going right down the road. And then also, so you're buying a water filter, you're supplying a job for 4 to 6 guys, you're supplying the fuel in the boat, and you're helping the boat be maintained. And during the lockdowns, so Brazil, where we're at, is about a month behind us. In May, they completely shut down. However, they were still receiving money from us because of last year's Easter offering. They were able to continue to earn money and build water filters, and they just stacked them up. They had 300 or 400 water filters ready to be delivered. So we kept people supplied with income while they were locked down. Now, here's the best part of it all. Go to the next slide. When they deliver the water filters, guess what else they do? They present the gospel. They have church. So this is actually a church that we helped build in 2018. We pull up. This guy has got posts in the ground, and he's just now laying down the floorboards. And we got a chance to help him do that. And then so many people came that the next day the foundation of the thing was sunk. I mean, people, just everybody came because they heard that Americans, gringos, were here, and they were having church, and they wanted to come. So then we went the next year, and it was this one guy. Now he's got a roof over the church, he's got lights in the church, he's got benches, and so when they deliver the water filters that we purchase, they have church. So listen, Vineyard community, family, we have an opportunity here to keep people healthy with clean drinking water, help people have an income and provide for their families, and present the gospel. Amen? That's what your $195 does. It's so much more than just the water filters. Give me the next slide here, too. So this is another church setting. The guy in the, you notice the Vineyard shirt that we have, that's Anos. He and his wife, they're now the lead pastors of the church. And then over to the left there in the yellow shirt, that's Lodo. He is one of the water filter guys, and he's a small group leader. So this is them having a church in another area on the Amazon River. So I was trying to get an interview video going with Hamon. Obviously, there's a language barrier there. But later on in the week, he sent me some clips. I sent him some questions. And I'm going to put the full video out later on in the week. But he has just a short video that he's going to share with us what's been happening in Portel for the past 6 months or so.
Hi, Chip. Hi, Vineyard family. It's a privilege to talk to you. Our daily life here at the church, God has been doing incredible things in our midst. People have accepted Christ. Some have been baptized. This brings us such joy. In this difficult time, we are seeing God in our midst. It wasn't always like this. At the beginning of the pandemic, we had to make a new routine where all of our services were digital on social media. However, we live in a community where not everyone has access to internet, making it difficult to watch our services. This made us sad because most of the people couldn't enter into social media to watch our services. But now we are in another phase. Now we can have up to 150 people at the church, social distancing, using hand sanitizer, and wearing masks. In this new routine, God has been faithful. God has moved, leaving us very happy. Like most places in the world, here in Portel, everything is closed. We went into lockdown, which affected the filter project because we couldn't go into a person's house. Even today, this remains difficult with everything still happening. After talking with people in the health community, it was agreed that filters are essential, that the river residents need these filters. They need quality water. So using prevention protocols, we are continuing to deliver filters in a new routine, and these people are being blessed. You aren't just giving a filter, you are showing care and love for them. They are forgotten people. The government forgets about them. So when you donate a filter, you love them and care for them. Getting out there again and delivering filters has been incredible. People are also being saved. This is our motive for joy.
So that's because of the money that you donate, the water filters that you purchase. So just please be in prayer. You know, we can do this. And all right, so I got Rob Gibson up here. Rob Gibson, I think Rob's about as sold out with this ministry as I am.
I am.
He becomes kind of half Brazilian when we get down there. He becomes a different person. But, Rob, can you share with us why the water filter project and this mission work is so important to you?
Well, church, good morning. Glad to be up here. It's so important because we're changing lives. I mean, changing lives, not just one, but you know, families and probably generations, truth be known, as we move forward with this water filter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've seen you work as hard. So this is Rob with some of the Brazilians here. This is the water filter crew. And you can always pick Rob out with the Brazilians because he's like the brightest guy there. Go through some more of these pictures here a little quickly. So there's them bringing the water filter out of the boat. But Rob, I've seen you work as hard as the Brazilians. I've also seen you preach on the boat having church. I've seen Rob do it all down there. So can you share with us, do you have a story, something that you've seen somebody's life get changed while you were there?
Yeah, the one church you mentioned earlier where we helped lay the floorboards. So we helped lay the floorboards that day, and word got out that, you know, the Americans are there, and people showed up in droves. Like, it was amazing. In the dark, it turns dark at 6 p.m., almost. Yeah, lights on, lights off. So as we were building that church that day, just the rawness of the wood, you could feel it through your feet, just the true nature of God being with us at our foundation. And then to share the message of God with that church and that church family that they have down there. I mean, that's our job. You know, that's our job. We got to go out and spread the gospel, represent, and be the light for those that might not know who Jesus even is.
Amen. Amen. So let's go through a few more of these pictures here, guys, a little quicker. All right, so, yeah, so there's Rob on the boat. So every time when we're there, we're on the water. We live on the water. So, Rob, one last question. Why should somebody donate to the Water Filter Project?
Donate because these people, you can see they don't have much, but they're happy people. We just have an ability to make their lives even more joyful, you know, to make them healthy, to show them that there is a different way to live. Not that we're trying to change the way they live, but just make it better, make it more fruitful. They can have clean drinking water. Their kids, the little kids, some kids have that pot belly from all the bugs running around their gut, and they're sick, and they don't know why. And we're just making differences that way. It's truly impactful. It's fun. It's hard work. We see them, you know. I think sometimes they could feel like they're not seen by the world because they're so far off the mainstream. They're off the grid. But we see them. They're just like us. We have a great time. We laugh together. We've cried together. Mm-hmm. And we just share the gospel with them, and we're changing lives every time we go down there.
Yeah, that's true. And I do remember one time, I think you were in the house, the lady said she never thought in her lifetime an American would be in her home. So
that's the one we had coffee with, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to do that. You know, you don't get that chance very often, but yeah, they're just like we are.
Yep. So, Rob, thank you very much. Awesome, brother. So that's kind of a snapshot of the Water Filter Project. I got a couple more pictures up there. But listen, church, so this Easter, $50 you can buy a wheelchair in Vietnam, $180 you can feed a child for a year in Haiti, and $195 you can provide clean drinking water, provide a job for somebody, and change lives and help the gospel be presented. In all three of these, the gospel gets presented. But church, we can do this. You know, and there is something that we're all getting, right? Every auto mechanic, repairman, contractor, their cost just went up to what? $1,400? Listen, the stimulus check that you get was not a part of your budget. We can come together, church, and we can be a blessing to people around the world. So this picture right here, I got a report yesterday from Water Filters that just got delivered, and these are two families. I get the report, I get the GPS coordinates, and then I get pictures like this. These are people whose lives are changed. So, amen? All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about giving today. And you know, when it comes to money, the Bible has an awful lot to say about it. And I don't think there could be any better wisdom than God-given wisdom when it comes to our finances. And before we kind of get into the giving aspect of it, I want to talk about an area of giving that is kind of done out of our trust in God, our love for God, and our obedience to do what his word says. And this is an area of giving called the tithe. And the tithe is the first 10% of our income. It's in the Old Testament, it's referred to as the first fruits. So the first 10% goes back to God. But I just want to kind of teach on that a little bit, because there's a all throughout the scriptures, there's the tithing is mentioned, but there's a famous passage in Malachi chapter 3 that says this. And God even starts out, he's using the prophet Malachi to speak to his people, the Israelites, but he starts out by saying, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. What do we mean we've cheated you? You have cheated me of the tithes and the offerings. And then he says this in verse 10. Bring the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Basically, they weren't doing this. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I love that. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. God says, test me in this. I'm sorry, but to me, that sounds like a good deal to me. I mean, God says, I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out such a blessing, you won't have room to take it in. You will not have room to take it in. If we bring the first 10% of our income to God, invest in his kingdom, he will bless us so much we won't even be able to comprehend it. That's what he says. Now, some people will say that tithing is an Old Testament practice. It's in the Old Testament. It's never mentioned in the New Testament. So, and there are teachings out there. I've seen YouTube videos, and I'm sorry, but I totally disagree with them. Tithing is mentioned once in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. It refers to a story in the book of Genesis about tithing. Tithing, if you do a Google search, you'll see all the times it's mentioned in the Old Testament. So, just I want to challenge you. If you say, well, it's not in the New Testament, and I saw this guy on YouTube that said, I don't need the tithe. Here's my challenge. Just to challenge you in this. Read the book of Acts, chapter 2. And then ask yourself how much the early church gave. You know how much they gave? All of it. It says they brought all of their possessions and gave it. They gave everything. So, if it's an Old Testament practice, then you should be giving 100%. I'm just saying. Now, here's the other thing. The Old Testament was instituted in the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That is what is referred to as the law. That is where God established his people, the Israelites, and he set them apart from all the pagan nations around them, and he said, this is how I want you to live, this way, no other way. And it's referred to as the law. So if you say tithing is Old Testament, it's back there in the law. Well, Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So if he came to fulfill the law, I put tithing in with that. So those are just a couple of things that I just kind of feel led to share with you about. And tithing is the 10% of our income that goes to the place where we're fed spiritually, the place that we support, our church home. And when we are faithful, here's what happens. God protects our finances. He protects our families. I believe what happens is when we begin to tithe, he puts an umbrella of protection over our household. I truly believe this. I believe this with all my heart. Now, does that mean that I'm never going to have any problems and our cars are never going to break down and we're never going to have to get a hot water tank, which we just did, and none of this stuff is going to happen? Everything will be fine. We'll be the healthiest family on the block? No. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that every time an unexpected breakdown happens, an appliance, the car, an illness, or something, God is always one step ahead of it to offer the resources, the wisdom, and the know-how on how to navigate through that. That's what it does. Amen? That's what it does. And you can't outgive God. That's the thing. So here's the other thing. Most importantly, here's what tithing says. It says to God, I'm in. I am invested in your kingdom, God. I want to be a part of what you're doing, and I want to help you do that with my tithes. Everything that I have is because of Jesus. Everything that I have is because of Jesus. My life, my wife, my family, everything. And you know what he does for me? He pours everything he has into me. Everything he pours into me. The least I can do is what he asks. And that's tithes. That's give him 10%. And listen, here's the challenge. I challenge you in this. Put him to the test. This is the only area where God says, where I believe you can say, all right, God, you know what? I never bought into this, but I feel challenged, so I need you to prove to me that this is what I'm supposed to do. You can do that here. Now, give it more than a week. Now, we used to do, Pastor Dave used to do a 90-day challenge. I say, give it 90 days. Tithe for 90 days. And then write down the blessings that you see in the midst of those 90 days. And I promise you, this verse will come to life for you. And tithing and then giving above the tithe, our offerings like the Easter offering and stuff, that is where the great adventure with God begins. Listen, when we begin to let go of this a little bit and let God have it, we will hear his voice more than we ever have before. I promise you. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Now, what I do want to do is I want to talk about giving real quick. So I might start talking a little fast because I'm excited, but I want to get to worship too. So giving. Above and beyond the tithe. That's what our Easter offering is about. Our Easter offering is a part of this church's DNA that Pastor Dave started years ago. Was it $1.4 million this church has given away? Is that what it is? For our Easter offering. You see, we don't budget our yearly budget on 52 weeks. We budget it on 51 because that week of Easter all goes to Vietnam, Haiti, and Brazil. We can be a part of that, church. But listen, what I want to do is I want to encourage you about giving and about what the Bible says. So read with me here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. I'm going to read it kind of fast. You can write it down. We'll touch on a couple of them here. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must first decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. You know, I would love for heaven to say that about this church. You know, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. What this is saying is those who give little will get little back in return, and those who give generously will get a generous return. And your giving to the poor will be remembered forever in the eyes of God. Forever. You know, God writes all this stuff down. A farmer, what this is saying here too, a farmer who doesn't scatter a whole lot of seeds, a farmer who just puts a little crop down, is not going to get a generous crop when it's time to harvest. He's going to get a little bit. Anybody who's involved in investing will tell you this. This isn't like something new or a secret teaching. I mean, we don't do secret teachings here. Let me put it to you like this. Let's say there's a company that's rising. I mean, it's just doing good. And so I invest $10 into that company. And my friend invests $100 into that company. And at the end of the year, that company is still climbing, and we check our stocks, and I'm super upset because I don't have as much as him, and I don't think that's right. Who invested more? Who was more generous in their investing? The $100 investment. He's obviously going to get much back. It's the same with biblical principles when it comes to giving. The kingdom of God works in the same manner. Now, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, Chip, we're barely making ends meet. How are we supposed to give generously like this? Well, what does verse 7 say? You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. You got to figure it out. I believe this is where sacrificial giving comes too. If you're like, I don't know how we can make this stretch, but I think we can do it. Let's get a wheelchair. Let's get a water filter. Let's be a part of this. That is sacrificial giving. That's on another level. Some of you here can feed 10 kids, buy 10 filters, buy 10 wheelchairs, and some of you can do one. It all depends on where you're at. But if you push yourself, I believe God will bless you. He will bless you. And then verse 8 tells us that when we give cheerfully, when we give from an area of, I want to be a blessing for others because of what God has given me, God then will generously provide all that you need. You know, this is where we're like, do we give expecting God to give us something back? No. I'm not going to give above the tithe and say, God, I'm buying these filters and feeding these children on, and you better bless me. You better bless me. No, but we can keep our eye out on those blessings. We can look for them because they're going to come. They're going to come. Listen, Kim and I, when we first got married, when we would do stuff like this, be like, what do you think? You want to do this? And we'd have these numbers. We'd pray about it and get back and pray about it. You know what? We are so sold out on the biblical principle of giving that we don't even discuss it anymore. Sometimes she has a higher number than me, and I'm like, well, if that's what you think, let's do it. And then let's watch how God blesses us as we bless others. Because what happens is, this last verse, what happens is, God will then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Because you understand that everything you have comes from God, you're just giving back. You know, God can use my money wherever it goes. Well, it's not really mine, right? He can use that much more than I could. I believe that when I give, even in a restaurant, let me tell you something, even in a restaurant, I don't care if we get bad service. I don't care if the food's bad. I don't care. I'm going to tip generously because I believe that God can use that. You don't know why that person's giving you bad service. Maybe they're just a mean person. Maybe they're having a bad time in life. And maybe when we walk out of that restaurant and they come back, there's an anointing on that, I believe. And it could pick them up. God can use that. And then verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then provide a great harvest of generosity in you. You see, everything we have comes from God. God provided the seed for the farmer. God provided the income for you. God put bread on the farmer's table. God's putting bread on your food on your table. And then when we give generously, we will become generous people. And when we give back, God will continue to pour his blessings into our lives. What are these blessings? They could be anything. They could be, you know what? Your finances could be a wreck. He could give you the wisdom and the resources to get out of that hole. It could be, I remember shortly after we got married, we got a money order in the mail for $500. Somebody just wanted to bless us, and they said, don't bother finding out where this is, who we are. We put a fake return address on here. But you know what? I believe it was because of who we are in Jesus. Somebody just wanted to bless us. Things like that can happen. Or you might have an appliance breakdown, and all of a sudden you got a repairman that comes in, and he gives you this great deal. I always check with Mark Poland because he knows. I'm like, Mark, what do you think, man? They're charging me this much. And he'll be like, are you serious? And I'm like, is that too much? And he's like, no. And then I just walk away. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You did it again. You supplied something again in my favor. That's how it works. So, you know what? I'll just share another one with you. Kim's car broke down, needed a car. We weren't ready to buy a car. My budget plan said we'll be ready in 6 months. Well, Kim's car said, I'm not ready to last six more months. And our mechanic said, yeah, it's gone. So we said, all right, here's what we got. Here's what we're going to do. We went, we said, okay, here's the car we could get. Well, they just so happened to have a deal going on where we could get a bigger vehicle for the same price as the one that we were looking at that was within our budget. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. It could be financial. It could be an answer to prayer. It could be a healing. You know, it could come in a number of ways. But these are the things where we give and we don't say, you know, God, I expect you to do this. But when we go through life and these things pop up, you can say to yourself, God really showed up for me. God also sees our giving as our trust in Him. When somebody wants to borrow money from me, it doesn't happen often, but let's just say somebody does. You better believe they better pay me back, right? Like, I want that money back. You said you'd pay it back to me. Well, isn't it the same way with God? Like, we're like, I don't know, God. I don't want to give this away. God says, I will pay you back. So much you won't be able to contain it. That's the trust that we have in Him. And it's also proof of our love in Him and how much He takes care of us. So, our gifts, this Easter offering, these are gifts that we're giving. What do you mean they're gifts? I'm going to wrap it up right now. Well, our Easter offering goes to a country where the gospel is not allowed to be preached, a communist country, Vietnam. That wheelchair is a gift to somebody who is receiving it, and the gospel is going with it. Our Easter offering goes to an area in Brazil, in the Amazon region, where there's not clean drinking water and people are sick. And like Hamon said, the government has forgotten about them. That water filter is a gift, and the gospel gets preached. In Haiti, there's children who they don't have food. $180 will feed a child for an entire year. You don't think that food that they're getting is a gift? It's a gift. And they're getting the gospel presented to them in the same way. So our giving brings the love of Jesus to those who might not even feel loved at all. And that's what our Easter offering is all about. That's who we are. That's like what Pastor Dave was talking about last week, that Proverbs out of chapter 19. When you give to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. That's where I was going with that, borrowing the money. You're lending money to God. Lending. He said lending. When you give to the poor, you're lending me money. He's going to pay it back. And that's the great adventure with God. Amen? So yeah. So, I knew we were going to go a few minutes long, but you know what? I listened to worship Wednesday night, so you're not going to be disappointed. It's going to be good. So, be in prayer. Easter's in 2 weeks. Church, you know what? We're coming out of this pandemic, but you don't think Haiti, Vietnam, and Brazil is still dealing with COVID? Can we be the biggest blessing to them this year? Can we give them a reason to smile and see some light at the end of the tunnel? Can we do that? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you. I'm always in awe of the giving of this church. We are a giving church, and I know I don't need to challenge you in that. I know we're going to rise to the occasion this year, and I just thank you for that, Jesus. And just anybody here, Lord God, that may be challenged in this area of giving, maybe tithing, maybe giving, maybe how much to give. God, I asked it as we move into an area of worship, that you would just drop some numbers in their head. And also, you know what? As I'm praying right now, I sense that there are some of you right here that are thinking about tithing. And you're struggling with the fact that we're barely making ends meet. And Jesus wants you to know it's going to be okay. I will make your ends meet and more. So just talk to God about that as we move into worship, if that speaks to anybody. So, God, and I just thank you as we lead up into Easter, what this entire season means and what you've done for us. May we be thinking about that and meditating on who Jesus is and the sacrifice of him laying his life down for us means. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.